Hi, everyone. It's Gary and John with you again tonight. Sam is unable to join us. He is still sick with bronchitis, which saddens us, and I just know it's really hard on him. In fact, I was telling John that today I said he sent me an email about something. I responded back, and he totally misread what I said. I mean, it was only a sentence long. And he came back with, what are you talking about? And I said, Sam, I said, was I just unclear? Or did you think I meant something else? Or are you upset with me? And then he came back eventually and said, oh, I reread it. I totally misunderstood it. So I could tell Sam is not on his game. And he's been saying that. So, gosh, this has been a week or so. And I know about every year he comes down with a bout of bronchitis that really takes him out. So as you think about it, be praying for him, because I know this is just torturous for him right now. So John and I are on with you. And as you know, I'm assuming that tonight what we wanted to do is just we really wanted to have a number of you share what it is that what words would you put on last year as you look at last year, asking God and looking at your journal, what you recorded, what was he about? What did he seem to be focused on? Is there a word or phrase that he spoke to you about the year and what it was going to be about? Or can you now conclude that as you look at your journal and your journey? And then this year, the idea of what word would you put or phrase on this year that seems to be, as far as you can tell right now, the focus of God for you in this coming year, or what he's spoken to you about the year. And so just real quickly, let me just share the words that I had last time. I just said last year the words that seemed to be prevalent for me last year, there were two words. One was, and I really will bring it down to one word each, the one word was try. At the beginning of the year, when we did this conversation on what's going to be your transcendent pursuit for the year, I really felt like God was saying that I was to just to try whatever was on my heart to try, and that if it was a direction I shouldn't go, God would put a check on my heart and I would stop. And so, therefore, I tried a number of things I was excited about, some videos and some audio products and some different things. And then the other word that was on the year for me last year, which came up more towards the second half of the year, was the word restart, that God was going to power down and then restart a lot of things in my life, including the ministry. And he has done that, and things are still restarting. This year, I feel like, there were two words, and I don't have them in front of me now. One of the words for me was this word, watch. And I've sensed, as I've asked God about this year, that he's been saying, now, Gary, I want you to move into this year. I want you to continue to try what's on your heart, but I want you to slow it down to a point where you just watch to see what I'm doing. Don't work so quickly that you're only going to see me in hindsight. I want you to see me in the moment, what I'm doing, what I'm about, what I'm creating, and surprises, that kind of thing. So that feels like a big word over my life for this year. So, John, how about you? Because I know you shared it last time, but how about bringing us back up to speed?
Yeah, in fact, I had to go back and look in my notes because I couldn't remember the exact word, but it was recover. And God seemed to start 2015 with the word recover, but I had no idea what he wanted to recover. There was nothing that seemed to be on the radar screen for that. And yet, over the course of the year, I think there were some things he actually did recover or resurrect. One, I think, was just an excitement and enthusiasm about eternity. And, of course, that influences everything we do in this life. If we really have a healthy, excited perspective on our eternity, it changes what we go through in this life. And so as I was finishing up 2015 and then moving into 2016, I went and revisited the word recover, and I just feel like that's really the theme going into 2016 as well, is just to recover my sense of mission moment by moment, daily, on a daily basis. He took me back to several memories from college and my early years with Campus Crusade, where every day I really felt on mission. And I know I've lost a lot of that. And so I'm really looking forward to going into 2016 and just thinking every day when I get up, today is the day I'm on mission. And, you know, whatever the circumstances of the day are, I'm looking forward to bringing the weightiness of my calling into that situation and really being more and more mission-minded about that. So I guess my word is the same for both years.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, I'm sorry, I was actually trying to Google something as we're talking for an idea.
So you weren't paying attention to me again,
Oh,
right?
No, I was listening to everything you were saying. Absolutely. But here was my thought. You know, one of the things that's going on in the Republican debates that are going on right now, and that whole thing is the thing that that's working against Dr. Ben Carson is they'll say he just seems to lack passion and conviction. That they know he's a man of both, but he just is so, you know, close to melancholy, you know, when you hear him, when you see him. Now, this is not a statement about who he is. I personally like what I know of him. But they're saying, I just remember hearing somebody say, listen, this is a time in this country and in this world where we need people of passion and conviction, that you can actually hear their voice. And now completely going away from anybody running for candidacy, I just think that's true in this life right now, that we have got to develop this voice, this life of energy, of passion and conviction. And I know I want to this year. I really want to work in such a way, because one of the things that hit me a while back, and then everyone, we're going to transition. We'd love to hear your voice, so we're giving you some prep time to get on the phone and share what we're talking about here. But one of the things I wrote on just before Christmas was this idea that as I look at this world, and this world is in really a scary situation and position right now, all that's going on. I don't know if it's unique in history, but it feels like that to me. But I'm not a student of history. But I only see two possible solutions to what's going on in the world right now. One is the return of Christ. When he comes back, everything's going to be made right very quickly and completely. But if he doesn't return quickly here, then the other thing that has to happen is we have got to have believers stand up and bring the glory, the weightiness, the strength, the beauty of their life to this world. And no more quiet voices, no more hesitancy, no more shyness, no more hiding in the shadows because of shame. We have got to do this. So I'm feeling it internally, big time. And you really spoke to that, John. I want to wake up every day going, okay, I'm back on mission today. I am on mission. This is not a day off, and it's not a mission when I decide. It's on now. It's on. Maybe that would be a good word for me this year. It's on. So.
What? You know, taking that Ben Carson example and applying it into our own situation as believers, I think it's easy for us to think we have to be like the Donald Trump personality. We've got to be loud and outrageous and get the message out. And I think more important is when you bring the weight of your life to the world, it comes from a compulsion that you have to do it. You cannot not do it. And so, you know, there's a compulsion in each one of us to do something. And for some, it's one thing. For others, it's another thing. But it's bringing that and not just bringing out loudness or boisterousness or, you know, I'm not even sure if I'm making sense, but it's the compelling of your life that needs to come out. And that may come out quietly, but it comes out powerfully.
Exactly. No, I think that's a great example, John, because, you know, okay, so let me just say, I am so turned off by Donald Trump. He is the most immature, socially inept person I have ever heard before. So yes, it's easy to see people like that and go, I never want to be like that. So we stay quiet when that is not the example, you know. So I am absolutely with you. So hey, one other point, and then I know Brad Weber is ready to get on and share his things from last year. John and I were talking about this, so I just want to bring it up real quickly, and that is this idea that I wrote about on the blog and then did the video blog about, this idea of not living in the if only, but living in the but now. And again, I wrote about that because that's huge for me, and I'm writing it anyway just as I try to write towards this new book on It's Your Time. But I just see that as such a huge factor. It's because I find myself going, if only I had more money, or the noble heart did, if only I had staff to work with, if only, you know, and the problem with the if only was that's where we stay. We just, that's our companion, and if only doesn't move, rather than the but now. And just realizing that, you know, if you stop and say but now and then fill the rest of that out, and more powerfully, as Joseph said, but God, and then fill the rest of that out. And it's what's so good is it makes us answer the question of, okay, I don't have this. What does that mean God is up to? What do I bring into the present circumstance that I've learned from the absence of something or something negative that happened to me in the past? So anyway, I sure want to encourage everybody to, as I have been, just to think through that and let that filtrate through they're looking at this year and how they want to live.
You know, I wanted to mention two things about that blog because I was reading the if only, and I love the way you say it's easy to walk into the quicksand of mm-hmm. if only. that was so well written. And I thought 2 days ago I was reminded of an opportunity I had to help another group of guys start a CPA firm about 20 years ago. And I kind of wanted to do it, but I turned it down. I just felt like that wasn't what God had called me to. Well, they've got well over 100 CPAs working for them now. They're probably all millionaires. I mean, they have done so well, and I'm still in my little shop, you know, paying bills. And it was just the whole idea is, see, you blew it. You really had an opportunity. You could retire right now. You could spend all your time doing what you really want to do. And the minute I thought that, I thought, oh, that's one of those if onlys. You know, that's one of those, it's like a regret or something. And I immediately, it was like the Lord immediately said, well, maybe that would have happened, but maybe you have no idea what that trajectory might have resulted in.
Yeah.
It may have resulted in you taking a trip where you died, or it may have resulted in something that you did that was ended up being illegal and you'd be in jail right now. You have no idea what that track would have resulted in. But you do know where you are right now, and God causes everything to work together for good for those who love Him. And it was just so freeing to have that perspective.
Yep. It's so true. Yeah, thank you. So, okay, so Brad, why don't I'm unmuting you right now, and we would love to hear from you as you've thought about last year and looking into this year. So you are on with us right now.
Okay, very good. Hey, first thing I wanted to do is let you know that at my church we have a habit of every year towards the beginning of the year, they pass around the offering plate with words in them, and we each take a star with a word on it, and it's kind of something for us to focus on for the year. And my word last year was leadership. And initially, this was a bit puzzling for me as I'd recently become unemployed and really had no formal positions of leadership in our church. As the year progressed, I became convinced that, at least for now, God was not asking that I seek any type of traditional employment. And so I explored some volunteer opportunities for really good organizations. I looked at Mercy Corps and Habitat for Humanity and some others. But once again, I felt like God was saying, that's not for you, kind of reminiscent of Barry's recent posting. In May, I was asked by my pastor if I'd be willing to be nominated to serve on our leadership council. Trying to be open to God's leading, I responded yes. In our church, once a slate of candidates has been nominated and vetted, we draw lots to determine who will serve. At the annual congregational meeting, my name was not drawn. So apparently, that was not where God wanted me to be leading. Apparently, leadership for me was not to be in the traditional places and or assignments. Mm-hmm. Having considered what leadership was not in the past year for me, I began to consider, how did God grow me in the area of leadership? When thinking about leadership that Jesus wants, a couple of verses came to mind. In Matthew 18, the disciples ask, who really is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus answers, believe me, unless you change your whole outlook and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. It is the man who can be as humble as this little child who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's the Phillips translation. And then again in Matthew 20, Jesus responds to the attempted power grab of the Zebedee brothers and their mother as follows. You know that the rulers of the heathen lord it over them and that their great ones have absolute power, but it must not be so among you. No, whoever among you wants to be great must become the servant of you all. And if he wants to be first among you, he must be your slave, just as the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve and to give his life to set many others free. So looking back on 2015, I can see how God was teaching me humility in leadership. He's giving me a new heart for people. I'm involved in leading worship at our church, and in the past, this has in some ways distanced me from others in the congregation. In addition, I have tended to be insular in my interactions with others in the congregation. What I've seen as the year progressed is how he has exposed a desire in my heart to listen to and encourage the downtrodden among us. I'm learning to love just sitting with the elderly, the sick, and the struggling, to hear their stories, to offer words of encouragement, to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. As I've become open to this, God has opened up opportunities for me to lead. For example, I'm leading an adult Sunday school class, one where I don't lecture, putting myself up as an expert, but rather participate in discovering more about who our God is and how he is incarnated in each of us. On the home front, this softening of my heart has allowed me a much better connection with my adult children, and in many ways I feel I've been able to assume the leadership role of a father with them, something that's been lacking through their first 30-plus years of life. Finally, this past year, I had the opportunity to put together a family reunion for my brother and three sisters and their spouses. This was our first time together since my mother passed a couple of years ago. Family reunions were always coordinated by my mom. I found that I had great joy in serving my siblings, making sure that the experience was good for each of them. I guess I would say that God is developing an expertise of servant leadership in me. This year, the word I'm focused on is gentleness. While I don't consider myself a particularly harsh person, my lack of gentleness has often been shown via an impatience with others, particularly those close to me. That impatience doesn't necessarily come out verbally or maybe even in other ways detectable by others, or maybe I'm just blind to what they are experiencing. Either way, it does lead me to distance myself from others. As God continues to use me in servant leadership, I'm looking to him to increase the gentleness of my attitude and approach to others. I think gentleness probably also applies to myself as well. My lack of gentleness and impatience can be manifest in my disappointment with and condemnation of myself. So you can probably tell I wrote that out because I didn't want to ramble on too long. So those are the two things. So last year, it was really about servant leadership, I think, and at least up to this point this year, the word that I'm kind of hanging on is gentleness in my approach to others.
Boy, that's really good. In fact, you have a blog right there You know, that's really good. And you know what? I can see that in you from the times we've been together. I mean, in each other's presence, I can see, as you talked about last year, God saying, no, I want you to actually come alongside and serve and be, you know, be kind of the presence of Jesus in other people's lives. That resonated with me. As soon as I heard that, I thought, boy, that is a great description of what I experienced from you. Honestly, it's just, I see that's true. And I can see God saying, I want to, you know, you already exude gentleness. I think it's, I realize often what we do in strength and purity and goodness for others, we don't do so well with our own family. At least that's my case. My family would be telling you that big time. But I could see him increasing even more what I experienced from you in gentleness and honing that. That's good, Brad. That's good. Thank you.
Thanks for allowing me to share.
Yeah. Okay, so Brad just shared with us. That was great. If anyone else, okay, great.
Vern.
I see Vern. All right, here we go. Vern, you are on, my friend.
You dare to unmute me?
I have my finger right next to the mute button.
What are you thinking, dude? Just saying.
I can undo this in a second.
See, there's the deal right there. Hey, I want to tell you guys, I've been away because I'm doing grad school, and every single week we have a conference call at exactly the same time. And so I can't come because of that. I think about you guys often, and you're my life, but I can't get here there from here right now. So the one of the words for this year for me is diet, which is a good thing. I'm trying to lose some weight, and that's John, you'll be happy to know that when I was in Canada last, I bought hockey equipment. And I'm starting to play hockey again.
I was just thinking about that when you said diet.
Yeah. I'm starting to play ice hockey again.
Good.
In a really weird way, a longer story than I have time to tell, I ended up going to grad school as an entrepreneurial ministry leadership master's. I got shut down, right? My buddy, I'm friends with Len Sweet, and he... After a wedding last year, he said I should apply to his grad school. So I did. And he's like, dude, I'll write you a letter. You know, six or seven of his best grads I have mentored over the last few years. And he's like, we'll get them to write you a letter. You'll be in. So I signed up. And we went to admissions. And you remember in Billy Madison, you know, we're all dumber because you talk. God rest your soul. Remember that? Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know, their admissions is we're all dumber because you applied, man. It was so bad. I got shut down. I mean, I got shut down in a huge way. And so Len told me to go up to this grad school in Wichita, and it's turning out incredibly. Some weird things are happening, more than I can say in this time, but good weird things are happening in this grad school. So, I'm pretty excited about it, and that's happening. But here's the big deal. Okay, this has happened in the last week. I do this thing with guys, right? I do this with pastors and therapists and other guys. It's a 90-day deal, and it's phenomenal. I've never seen anybody else do it. And the problem is, as soon as I get out of the moment with somebody, I can't remember what I said. If I could remember, I could write six books by now, but I can't remember. And so we've come up with a way to do, over this next year, I was unable to figure out a way to ask for help. You know, a guy that helps other people ask for help all the time, and I can't figure out how to ask for help. And I finally figured out what to do. So I've asked for help from a couple of guys, and they're going to create a group that I can do what I do, and we can record it. And then God kind of released me in the last little bit. I'm a good writer. I get paid to write. But God's like, just get the recording done and have a ghostwriter write it. Just get it done. So I think that's in the next little bit. I'm hoping that turns out. And it's a lot of freedom for me because I just couldn't get off the starting line. And that's part of the deal, I think, for this year is just getting off the starting line. You can mute me, man. I'm done.
Well, okay, first of all, let me just say, when you told me you were going to graduate school and you're doing this thing, I just think that's tremendous, because I knew that that would be something that would propel you into the next thing. It just felt like you were at the threshold, the gate, and this would be the pushover. And I think that's great, and I love that you have asked for help when these guys are saying, we will set up a situation where we can start capturing what you're saying. I'm just really happy for you, Vern. I think that's great. I'm happy for us because of what's happening with you. So.
Oh, yeah, and you know, this is part of it. You guys have supported me, and it's been amazing. I'm very thankful.
You're welcome.
I was just laughing when I heard you talk about recording, because I remember at the gathering in September, somebody came up to me and said, you know, I spent a lot of time with Vern this weekend, but I feel like I wish I'd recorded it, because I can't remember. There was so much he unloaded, and it was so good, and there was no way to write it down. And I don't even remember who that was, but what a brilliant idea. I think that's excellent.
It'd be great. So one of the cool things, I'm going to this grad school, this semester, the author of one of the textbooks is a friend of mine, and I wrote a good bit of the other one. You know, I mean, the grad school part of it is, like, the actual school part of it. Shelly, my wife Shelly, she's a Carlton here, she is doing her doctorate right now, and she is laboring. She's doing a great job. She gets very, very high grades, but she labors over it. Sometimes it takes her a whole day to write a paper, and I'm writing papers in 20 minutes. You know, it's embarrassing. But it's not about the school, right? It's not about the learning's wonderful, but it's about being connected to other people and living in a context where you can be seen. I mean, being seen by other people is the deal. I got to tell you that, you know, one of the things that has been so helpful to me about Basecamp is I come out there and I know for at least 1 week of my life, I'm going to be seen by other people clearly. And grad school is helping with that. It's not quite going into the mountains with you guys, but it's up there.
Yeah, good. Good. Hey, Vern, thank you. And it's great hearing your voice again. Thanks, buddy.
You sure am.
Thanks.
Yep. See ya. Well, guys, one of the things, just because of what Vern just said, Jack Lennedy wrote something, and Vern's doing this on his phone so he can't see us, but Jack said about Vern, he said, that's why I recorded Vern on my phone at the retreat. And he said, good going, Vern. The spirit just starts speaking through you, and I don't think it's entirely you. And he said, tell Vern and tell John that he was the guy that said that John was referring to. So
yeah, I remember now.
Anyway, so you guys, anyone else want to get on? I see that I'm not putting anyone on the spot here, but I see Jerry Lynn's on the phone, Randy Luce is on the phone, and didn't know if you guys want to share it. Don't hang up just because I said your name. You don't have to. I don't have to unmute you. You don't have to say a thing. So as we're waiting, let me just say this. I would love it if we can start a forum, a discussion, some kind of a platform where we can maybe share some of these things that we have a sense that God is up to for us and through us this next year, where we can record this, because I really want us to be a community that says, how's it going? You know, Vern, how is graduate school going? Have these guys started, did they set up this situation where they want you to do what you do and they want to record it? You know, John, what's your mission this morning? What do you sense it is? You know, these kind of things that we do with each other.
Yeah.
I don't want us to be just a community that's real keen on calling, but we don't do anything. I really want us to be helping each other do that, to stir each other to love and good deeds, the scripture says. So.
Well, and you think about the guys in this community. I don't know when I've ever been surrounded by higher quality men ever in my life, honestly. You know, I look at every one of these names that's online right now, and, you know, there's hardly a name on there that I don't know, and especially there's not anybody who I wouldn't go to if I really needed help, and there's just so much value in this group.
Absolutely. Well spoken. So it looks like we're probably at the end. I don't see any more hands going up, anybody hitting star two. And you still have time to do that. But let me tell you about something that John and Sam and I are looking to do this year. And that is, we want to offer at some point, and I'm hoping it's late winter, early spring, a trail guide training time. You know, many years ago, we tried to start up trail guides. We first started Basecamp. So we had a list of guys who said, we want to be available to come alongside anyone who wants someone to walk with them in their journey of discovering, developing, and deploying their calling. And so we had a list of guys. I think we had six guys. And it really wasn't, I didn't put it together well. There really was no training or preparation. There really wasn't much explanation, either to the trail guides, what I was talking about, nor to others of what these men were available to do. But this thought has come back up in the last year, and I'm forming a very strong conviction about this and passion and excitement. So what we want to do at some point, late winter, early spring, is have an event probably out here at Bear Trap Ranch again and have a weekend together. In fact, maybe do a Thursday through Sunday and really have a time of honing each other's skills in walking alongside another person to help them discover, develop, and deploy their calling with everything that's involved in that. And then what I'd like to do at the end of that is then be able to put out to Basecamp and to other areas that here are these men. Now, I do want to do this with women as well, Candace. I know you're on the phone. You're listening to this. But I want to be able to say to the list, here are some men who this is their calling. This is the effect of their life. This is their desire and passion. And they have experience in this, as John used this word with me today, which I really like. They are trusted advisors when it comes to your life, walking out your calling with God. So I want to let you know about that. If this is something where you're thinking, yeah, I love doing that. This is what I want to do. I want to be better at it, and I want to do more of it, then just keep this in mind. We're going to have this because that's what this is about. It's not, I'm not trying to talk you into training for something that, you know, it's really not who you are, but it might be a nice skill. I'm looking for those who are saying, that's what I want to do. I love that. So I'll throw that out as part of my passion for the year. John, any other last thoughts?
Well, Randy Luce has raised his hand, so
let's
unmute him and let him.
Let me do that. Yeah, my auto refresh had been turned off. Oh, I got, and I see Jerry Lynn. Perfect. Okay, so I see a number one next to Randy Luce. So, Randy, you are now on with us.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Randy.
This has been just going through both Barry's story and your questions that you laid out for us has been somewhat of a struggle for me to really sense any direct direction from God. And I've kind of been at a place where I'm trying to persist. And I'm going to tell a story in a second that kind of relates to where I think I'm at. But first thing I wanted to do is just react to some of the things that Barry said in his blog.
Mm-hmm.
When he started out and he said, when I turned 50, it felt like freedom and release. They said goodbye to all expectations of being cool or hip or fashionable. Well, that word expectation really triggers something in me because expectations shape so much of our experience with people around us and with God. And the thing that's, I guess, my growth in the last 10 years or so has been this newfound freedom that Barry hits on both there and at the bottom of his blog. But I just feel like I've had a new freedom to experience God's kingdom on earth. And towards the bottom, he says, this is the best time of our lives. And that got me thinking, well, why, you know, why is he saying that? And he explained some of it there. You know, we're finally old enough, people listen to us. And I always felt like I didn't have much voice when I was in a group. I always felt like every time I tried to say something, somebody else was talking louder than I am, and I just, you know, became passive. And for a lot of my life, I had, you know, kind of a fear of how people were going to react to me. And I was, it reminds me of your story, Gary, about sitting in the meeting, not wanting to say something and pretending to understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I've experienced a lot of that. But so this best time of my life, I mean, I feel like I'm experiencing that just like Barry is. It's just a new freedom to explore things with God, to find out, you know, who we are, really are with God. And one of the things that's struck me as I've gotten older, that I began to notice about 10 years ago, was that I felt like I began to have more of a voice around others, and people began to pay attention to me, which at first I didn't even know how to react. I was surprised that, you know, I'd say something to somebody, you know, what do you mean? You know, or somebody would actually respond to something I was thinking about. And that was a new experience. And it was, you know, for a while I thought, well, I'm just getting older. Maybe it's just my age that's making an impact. And in some extent, I think that's part of it. But I also think that God's doing things in my life that people are recognizing.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of that, a little farther on, he says, I'm finally old enough, finally weighty enough to speak truth into hearts and change the future. That really is a good summation of how I felt. You know, my increase in faith, a change in my expectations, and less fear of other people's reactions. And then I want to share one thing in my journal, and then I'll get to the story that kind of explains where I think I'm at now. But it's short. But
mm-hmm.
The direction, last October, I wrote this in my journal. And I asked God about, I was trying to figure out where I was at. And in fact, this was in response to Gary, you asking me, what do you think God is doing in your life, when we talked on the phone. And so this is what God said. He says, my direction for you will always remain shrouded in mystery and will always be unfolding. Enjoy and find rest in the journey. And that's been incredibly helpful to hear him say that. And the mystery part is, you can look at that kind of negatively, like, gee, really? You know, just tell me what's going on. But the way I looked at that was, it's adventuresome. You know, there's something always new that he's got for me that's in mystery now because I don't understand it, but builds positive expectations for what he is and will be doing in the future. So it was exciting way to look at it for me. So the story is, I don't know if you guys remember a movie called Facing the Giants. It was one of the first Christian movies put out by a group of guys back east, I think in Virginia, that came from one church, I think, originally. The story is about a high school football coach that takes over a Christian high school football team, and he's doing great, and the team's failing miserably. And he can't understand why. You know, he knows how to coach. He knows he's doing the right things. They just aren't responding. And he's at the point of resigning from the job, just thinking it's just not where God wanted him to be, that he's, you know, even though he knows what he's doing, it's not where God really wanted him, or he'd have better results. And the principal walks into his office one day and tells him a story about two farmers that are both experiencing a severe drought, and one farmer goes by the other guy's place, and the guy's out tilling his field in the middle of this drought, and the farmer kind of ridicules him and says, you know, what a waste of time. And he says, why are you even doing that? And he says, because the rain will come, and God's told me to prepare my fields so they're ready when the rain comes. And the principal uses that story to tell the coach that what he's doing is tilling the fields, that God's blessings will come. He just needs to be persistent and continue to do what he knows is right to do. And so that kind of helps explain where I'm at. I mean, I don't feel this overwhelming sense of direction from God, or, you know, some new thing that he's got me pursuing that's blessing me in one area or anything. But he's revealed a whole bunch of stuff to me. And and I'm doing the things that I know that he wants me to do at this point in my life. You know, meeting with other guys, and, you know, I have another guy that I teach classes with at church, continuing to pursue that. And there's just a sense of rest with that, even though I struggle with this, you know, what's the word for this year? What did I learn last year? There's still rest in continuing to do what I know he's already called me to do. In fact, Gary, you wrote a blog about this in 2010. I went back and looked at it. I think it was 2010, about kind of the idea of when we're not hearing directly from God, just pursuing the things we already know to be true and right.
Yeah.
And I camped on that for quite a while at the time, and it was really refreshing to go back and look at it again.
Yeah. Randy, that's really good. And one of the reasons I'm really glad you said that was because sometimes, right, we can live under this false pressure, you know, to, oh, I've got to be able to answer this question. I've got to come up with that word or phrase. And I think sometimes God says, nah, you don't really need that. You're doing fine. You're following me. You're right where you're supposed to be or whatever that is. So that's really good. I think, you know, tilling, resting and tilling your fields, or tilling your fields and resting. That's really good. Yep.
Thanks.
Hey, thank you. I'm going to mute you, and I'm going to put Jerry Lind on, especially because we're getting late here on time. So, Jerry, man, it's good to see you again. Tell us about you.
It's been a long time for sure. I sneak in here once in a while and lurk, but it's fun to hear your voice, Gary, again, as usual. And earlier Vern made a comment about retirement as overrated. I'm not sure about that because I retired this year, and I'm enjoying retirement a lot. It's giving me a lot of opportunity to refresh I'm still figuring it out, but it's been nice not to have to count vacation days for about 6 months now. So,
mm-hmm.
So to your question of the day, Gary, I don't know that I have anything really new from the, you know, or from the old year or for the new year, but it just comes over and over, and I got this from the very beginning of being acquainted with you and this whole teaching. And over, God reminds me of that I should be just faithful to do what I can with what I have where I am. And that brings so much contentment into my world when I'm frustrated with things not going right.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say thank you for that. And then as I look to the new year, I think there's the word seems to be anticipation of what this retirement time will bring, what will open up, because I don't have now a job to be beholden to. And I hope that I have the spiritual eyes to see and the spiritual ears to hear when God shows me something or whispers something in my ear or nudges me toward something, and then there comes the anticipation part again. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're in a remarkable place. I mean, in this quote retirement place, but where you are just so free, right? No one's dictating your time and schedule to you, and you have
right.
this, I mean, it just seems this new freedom to, you know, to kind of pursue these things that God puts on your heart. So therefore, anticipation of rest, I think rest was your other word, just resting in that. That's great.
Yeah, so it's an exciting time, and I look forward to it. I'm hoping maybe September will be on my list to get out to Colorado. I had hoped to make it last year, and I had a family conflict that didn't make it. So anyhow, there you are. It's great to hear your voice. It's good to see this group of guys on here tonight, and some I don't know and some I do, and it's been a good ride with you, Gary. I've enjoyed what you've taught me and what's gone on over these years.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jerry. It's so good to hear your voice again, and it's going to be fun to see what's going to go on now for you. So, Hey, thanks for sharing that. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, everyone, we are at quarter till, and so this has been good. Thank you. I don't think I'm missing anybody. I don't see any raised hands, and I'm refreshing this. So it's been really good hearing your voices and hearing some of these stories. So there was a recommendation that I thought was a good one that Brad put up, and that is that Jack, now this is, of course, for the guys in base camp, Jack had started a forum, a discussion, a thread that was called Official Thread. Oh, my God. Jack Leonard, you say, this is the official one. But that would be a good place for us to kind of go in, and if you want to just kind of write down, this is what I'm looking at this year, and this is why, that'd be great. So everyone, thank you for getting on with us. This has been great. Good turnout. Man, a lot of people on here. Candace, thank you, and Catherine for being on here. And John, any final thoughts, anything from you before we hang up?
I'm walking away from this one just really encouraged by everything that everybody said and put in chat lines and everything. So it's been a good one.
Yep, it sure has. So everyone, thank you. Great to be on with you. We'll let you know what's coming up next week, and we'll see you then. Bye.
Good night.